Chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, Aha! They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Now why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and they overtook them and camped by the sea beside Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And then they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us thus to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou to me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between them, between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it was gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night. And he made the very sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, and they went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians, took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord now said unto Moses, Stretch again out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. And when the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you that you are a great God, a God who stands over all the earth. Who is like unto thee? There is no other. We thank you that you are a great God, a God who doeth wondrous things, a God who keeps covenant, a God who speaks to his children, a God who guides and watches over, a God who shields, a God who protects, a God who enables. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are such a people. And we thank you, Lord God, that as you speak to us this morning, that we will hear the words, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord God, he will fight for us. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are a great warrior, a great king, a mighty one, gaining victory, gaining triumph, getting glory, causing the earth to fear and to know that the Lord God is the God of all the earth, all the earth, all the earth, not only over your children, but over all the children of men. We thank you, Lord God, that we shall see what we have believed, and we shall know that there truly is a God in heaven, a God who is good, a God who is great, a God who doeth wondrous things. And all the people said, "Amen." And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, there's the problem right there. It all begins in the first verse. When God begins to speak, what happens? What happens? It starts with T, and it ends with E, and it's trouble. Whenever God starts to talk, someone's going to listen. And if you listen, you will get into trouble. And God knows that. In fact, he talks to you so you will get into trouble. Why? So that he can show himself to be a God, like unto no other God, that he will deliver, he will save, he will do all that he has said. So God led his people into a trap. God himself trapped his own people. Why? Because he wanted to bless them. How many know that a trap is a blessing? Hello? How many know that a trap is not troublesome? It's only trouble for the devil who thinks to himself, aha, the people of God are stupid to go after the Lord their God and to follow him. Because now I will gain a great victory. I will destroy the work of God. They will not go forward, they will go backward. But when God speaks, we do well to listen, no matter what. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if he didn't speak unto Moses, then all that Moses did was in vain. So it's a very heavy thing to hear the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, each of us must hear God for ourselves. You are responsible for your own life. No one else can take responsibility for your life. You must hear God for yourself. Even your pastor cannot hear God for you. All the people of Israel had to hear God for themselves. They had to decide whether to leave Israel or Egypt in the first place. Then they had to decide whether they'd leave it in the second place. And then they had to decide whether they'd go ahead in the third place, and in the fourth place, and in the fifth place. And people are people. And God knows people. Hello?
He made them. He knows every weakness, every strength, every this, every that. He's got them all listed. He's got all your strengths on one side. He's got all your strengths here and all your weaknesses here. Wait a minute. He's got all your strengths here and all your weaknesses here. Who is the strength? Our God alone. We don't have any strength. We don't like that we don't have any strength. We wish we had strength. Oh, that we could make man do what we wish. Oh, that we could make the devil do what we wish. Oh, that we could make God do what we wish. But unless you're following the Word of God, you have no strength. Our strength is in God. Our strength is in the Word of the Lord. That's our protection, our strength, our reward. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Now, when God says something, He means it. When I heard those words, I knew that God meant, I will never be afraid again. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. I knew that I would never have to shield myself again. That would kill me. Because I was used to shielding myself. I was used to defending myself. I was accustomed to watching when someone would say something and I have to answer them back. Or protecting myself. Now, we're not talking about ordinary protection. We're talking about supernatural. And I am your exceeding great reward. That also is mind-blowing. As I look around, I'm not so sure He's rewarded me all that well. I have to examine it and say, is this a reward, God? Is this a reward? Is this a reward? Is this an exceeding great reward? And He said, do not walk by sight, walk by faith. When I say, fear not, and if you obey, and I say, I am your exceeding great reward, and you believe, then you will see that it's so. I could tell story after story, dramatically, how God has illustrated over and over again until I believe God is my shield and my exceeding great reward. And if all the world should go against, if all the mountains should shake, all of them, I mean literally, if it should happen, I would not be afraid, and I would stand and sing and say, I have everything I need, because God is my exceeding great reward. Now, I know I don't see it all the time. I know I don't experience it all the time, but I believe it all the time. Therefore, I will not be shaken, though the mountains be lifted up and cast into the sea. God is my strength. Well, let's listen to Moses. And this is what he told Moses. He said, speak unto the children of Israel, that they should turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. Now that's a small word. It's just a camping place. God had been out camping in the wilderness. He found a nice little place, and He said, you know, I think my people ought to stay here for the night. So He told Moses. The only thing is, Moses had been camping with God before. You remember this Moses was the same Moses that for 40 years knew all about Egypt and all of its arts and all of its territories? Moses knew exactly where that place was. Moses was trained in the military school, in the political school, in the arts, in the sciences. Moses knew everything about that place. He knew the ecology of the whole countryside. He knew the military strategy of getting caught in that particular area. And now he had been 40 years out in the wilderness, and he comes back, and God says, Moses, would you just, now that you've taken the people out, have them camp over there. And Moses is thinking to himself, you don't know what you're saying, God. You must have made a mistake here. That particular spot, God, need I remind you, haven't we been camping before? That's a bad place. I mean, maybe you don't realize Pharaoh might change his mind and come after us. And if he did, that'd be the worst spot to be in the whole world. God didn't say a word. Moses didn't say a word. He just said, okay, we'll camp between Migdal, Pihahiroth, across from Baal-zephon. If you can say that, you're a theologian. By the sea. And so there they went into this little hole. It was a trap. It was where the sea bent in a way, and it was a trap. And there was no way to get out. Mountains on one side, desert on the other side, Pharaoh on that side, the sea in front of them. There's nowhere to go. It was an absolute trap. So he's got a couple of million people out there, camped out, having a little camping trip. And all of a sudden, this is what happens. Verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. And Moses says, well, that's what I was telling you. That's what I wanted to tell you, God. That's what Pharaoh's going to say. Now, we could get out right now. We could go up the standard highway, which goes right along the Mediterranean Sea, straight up into the Promised Land, take us a week, and we'll be there. Now, we could go on the highway, not walk over these rough stones and so on, and I think there's McDonald's there, and we've got, Safeway is a long way. Everything will be provided for us. We'll just go the regular route. God said, uh-uh. I know what Pharaoh's going to do. I want him to do it. And Moses, who is the leader of the people, says, maybe you know, and maybe I know, but they aren't going to like it. Nonetheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. This one's going to touch our strength. This one's going to hit us at the most vulnerable spot. They had just gotten free. Why not go on? Why did God do that? Why did he trap them so early in the game? Why didn't he let them go on? Because the people of God needed this in order to go on. If they didn't, God wouldn't have done it. This had to happen. Otherwise, nothing would have worked. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So at that point, Moses told the people, without explanation, let's do it. The people began to murmur to themselves. They began to think. They began to wonder themselves. But they blew it off, and they said, Moses has been good to us so far. It's a wonderful pastor, a wonderful leader. Let's just follow. Let's just go ahead. He seems to know what he's doing. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Now you see, the enemy always wants God's people to be in bondage, in slavery, not free. The enemy does not want God's people to go away and go forth and keep going on and worship God and love the neighbor and save the lost. God has said, go forward. The enemy says, why have we let him go? Let's get them back into the world. Let's get them back into Egypt. Let's make them serve us because those Christians are good workers. Those Jews do a good job. They make wonderful slaves. You know, the glory of Egypt was so great during that time, under those pharaohs, all of the later glory of Egypt was so great during that time that it was never greater. Even in the early age prior to that, although that too was due to God. But during that time, Egypt was at the height of his glory. Egypt and subsequent. But then right after that, after Israel left, she fell apart. Israel lost all of her glory soon after that. Soon after Tutankhamun. You've seen the King Tut and all that. Well, not long after that, and this is just shortly afterward. And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots. So there weren't just 600 chariots. Those were the chosen chariots. It wasn't the chariot that was chosen. It was the chariot drivers. It was the people that drove them. They were the most expert who could get you good. That's why Egypt was feared throughout the ancient world at this time. She was at the height of her glory, and all of her glory was known everywhere. These chariots had been well trained, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. I mean, you know, they were confident. We are following the word of God. Glory, hallelujah. When you follow God, you're blessed. Amen? That's what they said. Then God led them into this little box, this little trap, this little trick. And they went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. Oh no, we're not alone. What are you doing here? What are the Egyptians doing in our church? What are the Egyptians doing coming after us? And all the horses, all of them, whoo, that's a lot. And all the chariots of Pharaoh, and all his horsemen, and all of his army, and overtook them and camped by the sea beside Pihahiroth and Baal-zephon. You want to say it? Okay. We'll just say P and Baal. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, he came up over the edge, you see, and it goes down toward the riverbed, The children of Israel lifted up their eyes. You can almost see them, you know, going about cooking. You know, they're just getting out their utensils and whatnot and setting up their tent pegs. And all of a sudden, they all lift up their eyes. And they hear this thunder coming across the desert. 600 chariots, all the chariots and all the army of Israel. Nubians, you know. And when the Egyptians went out with drums and the whole thing, you know, it must have been quite a sight and quite a sound rumbling across the desert. Nothing to deflect or stop that sound and that cloud that must have risen up. 2 million people or more were encamped there in their little tents with all their gold jewelry and trinkets, you know, getting out their Bunsen burners and things, you know, just starting the evening, you know, digging up little sticks. And all of a sudden they all lift up their eyes. Ah, you know, this can't be. We must have missed God. What's happening? And they began to murmur in their hearts. They began to devise ways of solving the problem. What options did they have? Well, they could run. Where do you run? Do you run to the mountains? Do you run out in the desert? Do you run over the sea? Where do you run? You don't want to run to Pharaoh. Running just won't do it. Did you ever see an Israelite running in an Egyptian chariot, you know, with all of his horses, you know? You can't outrun those chariots. These are picked chariots. And those Nubians, you know, they come after you everywhere. In other words, God had them hemmed in. He said he had them trapped. He had them locked in so they couldn't move. Well, there's another thing to do. All right, then 2 million of us will fight, you know. And so they brought out their forks and, you know, their hammers and whatnot. But they weren't a trained army. The Israelites had never fought. They weren't really a trained army. Moses was. Moses was a commander. But the people really didn't know how to fight well. Oh, they could do a few fist fights and so on. But basically, these are against the trained troops of Egypt, the greatest army on the face of the earth. With all the accoutrements thereof, how can you fight this well-trained army? So there's two things to do. Run, fight. Ah, there's a third thing to do. Paralyze with fear. That's another thing to do. I mean, that also is an option. Is you don't want to run and you don't want to fight. So you just paralyze. But there's another thing to do. What else? What would you do? Ah, you're too quick. There it is. There's always another option. You know, before you'll turn to the Lord, usually figure out what you might do in the flesh. Hello. Before the Lord is always the last ditch. You know. Well, the other one was just surrender. We give up, we'll come back. And that's really the one that they chose. The one that they chose was, Moses, aren't there any graves in Egypt for us? What are you doing out there? You know. And they just thought that Moses had blown it. And they told him so. And they got angry at Moses. And they said, Moses, you have led us astray. You're not a good leader at all. You don't know what you're doing. This God stuff is getting... We should have stayed in Egypt. It was better to serve Pharaoh than to die out here in the wilderness. Well, that's true. I suppose that's true. Better to be slaves than to die. Depends on how you look at it. But at any rate, God had something better in mind. God hadn't said be a slave or die, had he? That was the way man thinks, is either give in or, you know, lose it all. But God said, oh no, you don't understand at all. I've got a plan. Did God tell his plan to all the people? Uh-uh. They didn't know. They didn't know what was happening. They had to trust. Now, isn't that something? That's tough, isn't it? Wives, trust your husbands. Isn't that tough? How many wives think that's tough? Oh, come on. Only two or three honest wives here. That is tough to trust your husband. Well, let me put it again. Trust your husband in all things. Oh, good. Praise God. That guy? You know, he doesn't know everything. He's not God. How do I know God spoke to him? Now, when God says trust, he doesn't mean trust everything. He means trust what's in the Lord. But how do I know everything he says is in the Lord? How do I know this is in the Lord? You'll have to ask God. You have to know God for yourself. How do you know that Moses is right? Well, they thought he was wrong. Took a vote. How many? How many for running? Let's see. 250,376. How many for paralyzing? Raise your hands. All right. How many? You know, and all these options were there. What are we going to do? The arm of flesh will not save you. The arm of flesh will not save you. Only our weapons must be not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. Unless we have the arm of God, we have no hope. I want you to know you are always vulnerable. You are always vulnerable. You are always vulnerable. You have no hope in this world but God. Now, I'm not talking about normal kind of stuff you do. I'm talking about really when you look at it, you've got one hope, one source, God. You can never defeat man. It's impossible. Well, the Egyptians pursued after them. They caught them in the camp. They lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, that's the thing to do. When you're afraid, cry unto God. God, help! That was the right thing to do. But immediately, rather than listening for God's answer, then they decided, God's not going to answer right away. Let's cry to Moses. That's the thing to do. God, help! Okay, Moses, you know, right away, God just, you know, he was just about to say something, but they didn't want to wait that long. Because, there's the Egyptians right there. We don't have time for God. Come on, God, come on. All right, forget it. So let's see what Moses will have to say. The next verse. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? You don't care about us. You don't care about us. You're not concerned. You don't know what's going on. Moses, aren't you a leader over us? Do you really think you heard God? Where's your concern? Where's your care? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Why did you bring us out? That we might stumble and fall? Is this not the word we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone? That we might serve the Egyptians? We told you you'd go too far. Moses, you've gone too far. This God thing is too much. The reason we know is because it doesn't match up with our understanding. We know you've gone beyond what seems natural and normal. I mean, we can put up with a little stuff, like Passovers and things like that. Okay, we buy that. But now this by the river stuff, that's too much. We're caught. We're done for. There are no other options. You're either going to run, you're going to be afraid, you're going to fight, or you're going to paralyze or something. There's nothing else to do. We just better give up. We better quit. We better go back. I'm going to tell you something. You can't go back. Once you put your hand to the plow, you can't go back. You can't go back. We're not going back. We're going on. We're going to take the whole thing. We're not going to stumble or stop or wait 1 second for anything. I was talking to James Robinson 2 days ago, and he was saying the same kind of thing. You know, he's had a kind of a change recently. And he said, you know, I'm not a Baptist, people. I want you to know. It was just a few of us in his office. He said, I want you to know I'm not a Baptist anymore. I'm going to serve God all the way, whether the Baptists like it or not. He said, I've always taught that. I've always taught that I'd build myself on the Word, but I've come up against Baptist tradition. And I was the biggest, and I was the worst, and I thought I was teaching the Word of God, but I wasn't. Now I see it, and I'm going to follow God all the way, even if the Baptists don't like me. And now he reaches out to us, you know, and who are we? Doesn't even know us. He looks, you know, are you going to be on my side? You know? So he knows it's kind of grim picking. I mean, at least there's a lot of Baptists. You know? Now, know about these other weird people, these independents and whatnots and so on. But he's right. Follow the Word of God. You know what? I'll bet James Robinson's going to make a bunch of mistakes. That's what I told him. I said, you've got to do what God told you to do, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to make a lot of mistakes, and that's great. I want you to do it. Do whatever God told you, even if it messes me up. You do what God told you to do, and God will bless you, and he'll bless me. Don't worry about the other ministers telling him, well, now be careful of this and don't do that. And I said, you don't have to be careful with me because I think God called you and I think I can trust God that you will do the thing that will bless me, even if I'm against what you're doing in some particular here and there. Do it anyway. You'll have to bless me anyway because I'm blessed of God. He loved it. You know, he said that was great. Do what God told you to do. You can't check with your Baptist brethren. You can't check with the congregation. You've got to check with God. If you're not hearing God, you're not hearing anything. That's what a leader is, someone who hears God. You better make sure you've heard from God, otherwise you get in the box. And if you didn't hear from God, then Pharaoh gets you. Doesn't he? It's scary. It's lonely. You know, Moses was all alone here. I mean, not only Pharaoh over there, not only God in the heaven, he'd heard God. And if he didn't hear God, how does he know how to hear God? I mean, he'd heard what he heard. He was all alone. He had no one. No one that thought he was doing well. Is not this the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone? It had been better if we to serve the Egyptians than that now that we should die out in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. This is the word of God to us as a people today. Fear not. Stand still, and you will see the salvation of God. God will fight for you. You're not going to fight. It's all been done in heaven. God's watching to see whether you're going to look to heaven and have a picnic and rejoice and praise and thank God, or whether you're going to run, be afraid, panic, paralyze, fight, surrender, whatever. You're not going to do any of those things. God's already won the victory. It's all over with. Now, to encourage you, God's going to put a cloud between you and the Egyptians. That cloud is already up, folks. The cloud is up. There's a division to see whether you're going to believe God or believe man. Whether you're going to turn to God or turn to man. There's a cloud of protection. No harm can come. Did Moses hear God or not? I would have picked a different camping spot. But Moses heard God. He said, pick this one. It's a scary one. And he said, this one's going to get great glory for me, for you, for everybody. I mean everybody. And even the Egyptians will be blessed. Not the ones I trample on, but the ones that stand behind and have to learn a lesson. Don't mess with God. Get on His side. He is the great God. Maybe that's why later Tutankhamun's father, which is Akhenaten, decided that the Egyptian gods were all phony. Now, he lived right after this time, you see. And he decided on one god. Picked the wrong one, but... At least he got the figure right. He set up a whole new kingdom. Sun worship. Ra. Aten. Nonetheless, Moses followed God, and when a man follows God, God always vindicates him. Hello? I mean, it's scary. It's lonely. People accuse you. People murmur at you. People hate you. People get angry with you. People run from you. Praise God. You can't defend yourself. You just say, God, you told us to do it. We're going to do it. That's it. Don't look for friends along the road. Just look up to heaven. So Moses told the people something ridiculous. He said to people that were ready to do anything, he said, stand still and have a good time. Look up to God. Begin to praise and rejoice. Have a picnic. And they weren't in the mood. And God knew that, and he gave them an impossible word. He said, stand still and you'll see the salvation of God. And they were... still, you know, checking, you know, to see what they should do. What will be our next move? This is your next move? Nothing. Just rejoice. The victory's already won. It's all over with. Now, just to give you a little time, a cloud's been put up to see what you will do. Are you going to follow God or not? Do you believe? Is God, in fact, God? Does He, in fact, watch over the whole earth to perform wondrous deeds? Who is like unto our God? Is this a Bible story? If this is a Bible story, then you better give up. Because this Bible story is coming to pass. And all the Bible stories are coming to pass. And there are in this earth many, James, I'm one of them, and many others who are going all the way. We don't care about traditions or all the other stuff or who likes us or who doesn't. And now here's the thing. If we've heard God, we'll prevail. If we haven't, we'll fall right down on our faces. It's all or nothing. But I like that. I like that because I wasn't impressed with the halfway stuff. If you're here in this church, it's because you've already been in the group that went halfway. I mean, they didn't oppose God. They just didn't want to go all the way. I'm not being critical either. Let them do what they want to do. But somebody better hear God and do it. And that's exciting. Because God has yet to display glory in such a way that this world has not seen for many, many, many years. I'm not talking about in a corner. There has been in a corner here and in a corner there. James Robinson said, and I know he's right. He said, I drive by church after church, and the wonder of it, there's so many of them that are dead. I mean, he said, I've been around. He said, there's most of them are dead. And I include the Baptists, he said. They ought to have life, but they're not. And it was just his heart crying out. He wasn't being critical. Because he has a deep love. I know he does. And I know we're going to become friends. I've never met the guy before. It's the first time I shook his hand, talked to him. But I know this man's heart is right. I don't know if his theology is right. You know, I mean, all the fine points of it. I'm sure he's wrong. I'll have to teach him a thing or two. It may well be that he'll bless me, you know. But he is going to go all the way. I sense that in his spirit, and I know it. That's a kindred brother. He may be a mess, but he's a kindred brother. Well, he is. He admits that. But his heart is right with God. He wants to go on. I'm excited. Stand still and see the salvation of God. The Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see him again. Who's afraid of an Egyptian? Hello? Who's afraid of an Egyptian? Can an Egyptian do anything? Can man do anything? Boast and threat and fume and fuss? If you're following God, if you're in God, and that's the whole thing, you better make sure you've heard God. If you have, God will take care of you. Now, you people are covenanted with God. Even if you lacked faith, the people murmured, they griped, they complained, they ran, they did this, they did that. Didn't matter. God blessed them anyway. You know why? Because God knew what they would do, and God wanted them to know that he was establishing not only glory for himself, not only his leader Moses, not only was he going to get glory over Pharaoh, but God was going to establish once for all, I am God. And they would know from that point on that this people will know there is a God, and there is no other. There is no other. All the gods of Egypt would be arrayed against them, and all those gods gathered up together, put in a heap, wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. And they were drowned in the sea and never seen again. Egypt lost out. After that, I say, Egypt fell down completely. She has never been known again. And so with all the nations of this world. Now, if that's a Bible story for you, if that's just a history lesson for you, God help you. Because that's the truth. And that's the kind of thing that God is doing now in our day. Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I mean, you better get excited about it because this thing is real. And when God says put down your nets, he's not going to touch you at your weak spot. He's going to touch you at your strong spot. He's going to make you squeak until you realize, I can't make it unless I'm sure it's God. And when you're sure it's God, you can rejoice, you can praise, you can have a party. They just had a picnic that day. Moses said to them, just take out your lunches, and we're just going to have a little celebration. And they put on their hats, got out their blower, got out their little horns, and they began to worship God. That is, they looked to God and rejoiced and did not be afraid, did not run, did not desire to fight. They just looked to God, and God did a miracle. I tell you, I can't fight. You can't fight. God will fight. Has God not fought for us? You will see it. If you believe, you will see. And the secret is this. Moses had to get right with God. The people, they didn't. The people did not have to get right with God. All they had to do was this. Stand still. Just don't give up. Don't quit. Just hang in there. And you will see and be ashamed that you did not trust and believe. Nonetheless, you will be the ones that actually gain the victory over the devil. You will be. It's not Moses. He didn't do anything. But you will be the ones. And God, you will know it. You'll say, we did that. We did that. We as a people did that. Pharaoh did come after them. The wheels began to clog. Can you hear the sound of it? You know. And you know, at first he looks so furious and so arrayed, and then pretty soon it begins to bog down. It isn't long. When the people go forward, go forward, go forward, go forward, lift up your rod, the rod of authority, the rod of safety, the rod of guidance, the rod of power. Lift up that rod over the sea, it'll divide and you'll go right through. The devil can't touch you. You better have that kind of confidence. Because God's not done. He's going to take this city, the whole city. He's going to take this nation. God's into it. God's going to get glory over this world. All this world is going to fall. We're not done. We're not watching the last of history. You're watching the greatest, most glorious moment in all of history. Do you believe that? You don't have to. I'm just telling you, that's what I've heard from God. You'll have to test that out for yourself. God's going to do it. The church is not going to go to heaven with a whimper. You know, here we are, Lord. You know, He's not going to say to His bride, now come and rule and reign with me for all eternity, even though you've been a mess your whole life. He's going to take to Himself a bride that's pretty, that is efficient, that is able and capable, who knows how to reign with power, with love, with compassion, peace, and joy. God wants a people that know how to follow Him. And He'll take you right where you are, but He's going to lead you on. Go forward. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't stop. We're going on, and God is arranging everything to bless us. Is there anything that can stop us? No, not one. Amen?
Amen.
Will it be hard? It'll be very hard. But it'll be fun if you got your eyes on Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank You that this is a glorious day. This is the day that You have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank You, Lord God, that You have spoken. Without that, we have nothing. Lord God, we examine ourselves this morning to see that we have heard, that we know, because what we're saying is so ridiculous. It's so impossible. Does it make sense? It sounds preposterous. But You are the God of the impossible. You are the God that takes simple people who believe, people that would do this and would do that, but because we've been born again, we know there's a power in us that won't stop until the whole land is taken, until the wilderness has been trekked, until the Egyptians have been overthrown. Today, we mark this day, the Egyptians have been defeated. This is the day. This is the day, Lord God. You do it. If You don't do it, we can't do it for You. You do it. We did what we were to do. We are doing what You told us to do. We look to You and say, praise God. We say, God, You fight for us. While we are sleeping, You are working. While we are praising, You are working. While we are interceding, You are working. While we rest, You work. Lord God, we thank You that Your labors are not in vain. You fight for us. And the battle has been won. I thank You, Lord God, for the cloud. I thank You, Lord God, for the sea. I thank You, Lord God, for the Egyptians, which press us close to Thee. I thank You, Lord God, that You're going to do a wondrous and glorious thing with this people, such that the world will say, there is a God. And fear will go out, and people will say, don't mess with those Christians. They believe. They stand on the Word of God. They are to be reckoned with. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.